I had to repent for that. And it rearranged my thinking. And it rearranged, I believe, my ministry. That there will never be a time that I go in a hospital. There will never be a time that somebody's sick. There will never be a time from this pulpit that I will never offer salvation to anybody. It's free. Don't leave here without it. Amen? Now I'm done grieving. The Lord did give me a word for you today. And I go back to Matthew, that same Matthew, the second chapter, and in those verses 1 to 12. Last week we talked about the visit and how awesome the visit was that these wise men came to visit Jesus. And how the first thing that they did is jump for joy, but then they worshiped him. Amen? But there was something, there was a procedure that went before they got there. And it's something similar to like what we like to do. They followed a star. We like to follow stars. Amen? We see a movie star, we want to follow that person. We see a sports star, we want to follow that person. But these wise men saw a star, and they followed that star. But every time you follow a star, you don't always get what you were looking for following that star. Somebody say amen. Amen. Have you ever noticed that life doesn't always turn out and come out the way that you want it to be? No matter how much you plan, no matter how much you save, no matter how much you thought about it. Sometimes circumstances just don't follow our plans. Life often seems more than no more than just a series of shattered dreams. These wise men spent just about 2 years following this star. To follow this star, they left home. They left all their family behind. In their country, they were wise men. But in the course of the journey, they became pilgrims. Following your star, you can be a wise person, and then all of a sudden, you become a pauper. You become a pilgrim. Amen? Along the way, they had a lot of perils and obstacles to face. They even thought that they were going to find this king that they were looking for in the presence of another king. But when they arrived at their destination, instead of finding a royal palace, they found a shack. Have you ever followed your star? And when you got to the end of where you were supposed to go, it wasn't a royal palace, but it was a shack. Amen? Come on, somebody. Have you ever went after your dream, and when you got to your dream, it was a nightmare? These men followed this star for over 2 years, and all of a sudden, instead of it being a palace, it was a shack. They expected to find the king in a luxury home. They expected to find the king with servants and people just feeding him hand over foot. Instead, they found nothing but Mary holding the baby in a house. That don't sound like it was really fit for a king, does it? But sometimes life has a way of shattering our dreams and destroying our hopes. And if that has happened to you at one time or another, say amen. 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 So I want to help you today. I want to tell you what to do when you're following that star and then you come to a shack. It wasn't what they expected, but they came to worship. And they worshiped, they did. And they worshiped because they saw God in that shack. And in that shack, they saw Jesus. In Jesus, they saw God. So when life shatters your dream, your first duty is to find the Lord wherever it is. Don't look at what it is or how it is or how it's shaped, but find Jesus in the midst of what it is that you're going through and what you find. If you are his, if you belong to Christ, you're not going to find nothing in there. You're going to find something in there. Amen? Because there's nothing that happens in your life that he has not allowed it to happen. When we look at Job, the devil said, you can't find somebody that I can curse and he won't curse you. And God said, but stretch out your hand and strike everything he has. And the Lord said to Satan, very well, everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, don't lay a finger. So sometimes you're going to go through some things. But you got to know that when you're going through them, God is saying to the devil, but you can't lay a finger on them. In that shack, you're going to find your star. In that, when you find your star and it leads you to the shack, remember that God is doing three things to you. The first thing he might be doing to you is correction. Sometimes God's got to break us down and correct us before we can really get to where he wants us to be. Amen? In Hebrews 12, 5 and 6, he says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone as he accepts as sons. When God rebukes you, because we want things that God doesn't want us to have, and we get rebuked and we get frustrated and disappointed on it. But when God does that, remember, he's correcting you. It's a form of correction. And if he didn't love you, he would not correct you. Amen? We grew up, correct the child before you spoil him. You don't rebuke him and you don't correct him, you're going to have hell on your hands. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what they said. Where did they get that from? The Bible says when God loves you, because he loves you, he rebukes you. Because he loves you, he disciplines you. Because he loves you, he corrects you. In Revelations 3 and 19, he says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Sometimes we're in a form of doing something that we have no business doing. And he rebukes you. And he says, you need to be disciplined, rebuked, and you need to go ahead and repent. This is the reason why I said that I asked God for forgiveness. I believe that I was being rebuked. And all of my feelings all through the night, all I could think of is that I didn't pray that prayer. I needed to repent. I needed to be rebuked. But we go through things in life. Maybe you buy a house that you got no business buying, and you throw all kind of hell. You're getting disciplined and rebuked. Don't mean that he didn't leave you, but it says in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, find Jesus. He is trying to reveal himself in a different way to you. God gives us instruction, and the instructions that he gives us is not the way that we expect it to be. But the Bible says in Romans 8 and 28 that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. We want to be called according to our purposes. I believe that this is where I should be. No, you get called according to his purposes. When Israel was going through things, they had faced things that they never had faced before. But if they had not relied on God, they would have never known that they could get through them. Sometimes we go through things and we wonder why. But we go through them because we got to know that we must depend on God and that we can never get through them if we don't go through them. Because the devil puts obstacles in our path. And we wonder, how are we going to get through it? But with God, with Jesus, he will take you through it. You've seen First Lady get up here to sing Silent Night. Well, she's been practicing. She's had the words on her phone. She was ready to come up here and sing Silent Night. But you want to know something? The devil had her leave her phone home. And she said, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I said, you're going to do it. Just do it. God has got some things for you to do. And you don't know how you're going to do it, but just do it. He orders your path. He sets a way for you. Don't wonder how, just do it. Put in the work. When your star leads you to a shack, look for God, because he'll lead you through it. Look for God. He's going to be there. Moses didn't think he knew how to lead people. But what God did is he made them lead sheep before he led the children of Israel. I don't know if you ever led sheep or seen sheep, but you got to keep going to get them, because they go all over the place. You got to keep going to get them. That's why they got that, I got to use this, brother. That's why they got that long staff that they can reach over there and hit them back into place. We're sheep. God's got to get out there, reach out there, hit us back into place. So he said, Moses, learn how to lead these sheep before you lead my people. Moses didn't know why he was leading sheep. Moses already was a star, already was in the kingdom, already was in the palace. Now he's out in the desert leading sheep. And I really don't know how you lead sheep in the desert, because there's no grass for them to eat. But he led them. God put them in some difficult circumstances. In the scripture, the wise men, even though they ended up in a shack, they still had gifts to give. It would have been easy for these men to pack up and to go home. You know, when we're not finding the things that we're looking for, we want to pack up and go home. I wanted to pack up this morning and not preach. But the Lord said, you ain't got nobody, but I got you. So you got to do what you got to do. I don't care how you feel. You got a job to do. You got an assignment to do. You go ahead and I'll lead you down that path. Don't look around for a star for somebody to take your place. That's your job. And you know what? Just like those wise men that could have turned around and went back, if I walked out of here this morning, you would have not blamed me. You would have said, oh, he's grieving right now. But that's not what God wanted me to do. Sometimes we are going through things and we want to turn around and run away. But that's not what God wants you to do. That's what the enemy wants you to do. You got to understand when the Spirit is speaking and somebody else is speaking to you. Just because things don't turn out the way that they planned, they didn't turn around and turn out and run away. Just because things don't turn out the way that you planned, that don't mean you turn out and run away. You just keep going straight. That's why he said, don't look to the left or look to the right. Just keep going straight. When that star leads you into a shack, that is the time to give everything that you got. That is not the time to sit down and whimper and moan and cry. That is the time to give everything you got. Don't you know that it is the enemy that wants you to quit? It is him. He wants you to quit on God because he wants you to think that you're not going to make it. But God don't want you to quit, because I find my strength in the Lord. You got to find your strength in the Lord. When the enemy is rousing up against you, find God in the midst of it. Find your strength. Most people, when they respond to the shock, is, this is not what I signed up for. I'm not dealing with this. I didn't sign up for this. But let me tell you something. When God is giving you an assignment and he leads your path, you signed up for it. You didn't even have to sign up for it. Because you know what? He sent everybody here with a purpose and an assignment. He sent you here with a purpose and an assignment. He just gave you your marching orders. Now, if you don't want the marching orders, that means you ain't going to march. But this is a highway to heaven. And in order to get there, you're going to have to take the marching orders to get there. Most people will stop giving when they get in that shack situation. But I want to tell you this morning, that's the wrong response. Because the way to get from God is to give to him. I said, to get from God, you got to give to him. You got to give him your all. Cora Ashley, her song was 99 and a half, won't do. Some of us don't even want to do 99 and a half. We don't even want to do 50. You don't understand that? Let me say it another way. Some of us don't even want to do 50. You have to give God your all. He gave you his all. These wise men, they got more than what they gave because they gave some gold and they gave some frankincense and some myrrh. They got to see the king. They got to see Jesus. What would you give to see Jesus? Come on, what would you give to see Jesus? No, what would you give to see Jesus? What would you give? I know if there was somebody singing up at the casino, people will give a whole lot to go see him. If Frank Sinatra was around, people would pay hundreds of dollars to go see him. If Michael Jackson was around, people would pay hundreds of dollars to go see him. What would you pay to see Jesus? What would you pay? The surest way to get a blessing is to be a blessing. Everybody wants a blessing. If you want a blessing today, say amen. Amen. Are you being a blessing? Amen. All right. Y'all say amen before you really heard what I said. I'm going to say it again. You want a blessing, say amen. Amen. Are you being a blessing, say amen. Amen. All right now. God knows your heart. The wise men, they received grace in the shacks of life. While they had there with Jesus, they experienced two kinds of grace. First of all, they experienced a saving grace. No matter what situation you're in, God will always extend a saving grace to you. He is full of grace and mercy. He will always extend a saving grace to you. Because when it doesn't look like there is a way, he will make a way for you. But you have to put on your spiritual eyes to see the way that he's making for you. Because you got to pray about it. Because when you look just through these eyes, you might not see it. And when you listen through these ears, you might not hear it. But God will provide a way because he is the same God that opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel. He is the same God that said, Lazarus, get up. He is the same God that the woman with the issue of blood touched. He is the same one that made a way then when there was no way. This woman had seen everybody for over 12 years. They told her there's no way. But when God is in the picture, there's always a way. Always a way. Sometimes you got to say, God, I don't see it, but I need you to show it to me. I need you to expose it to me. I need you to reveal it to me. We're so busy trying to look to see without asking him, where is it? You can't see it, but you got to wait for God to reveal it. We can expect and experience sustaining grace. God just doesn't give you a little bit of grace. He gives you a sustaining grace. Sustaining means it's there for a long time. It's there throughout and it endures whatever it is that you're going through. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody was there for a minute and then they left? They say, oh, I feel your pain. And then you turn around and they're gone. But the Lord doesn't leave you nor forsake you. His grace is forevermore. It is sustaining grace. These wise men, God saved them, and then he directed their lives. So when our star leads us to a shack, we can expect to find God's grace in that hour of need. In that hour of need. Always God is going to show up and show out. He doesn't have to, but he loves you. And that's why he does it. Life is not fair. You know, when we grow up, they say play fair. When you go out in the street and you go out in the park and you want to play fair and you get beat down because you're playing fair. You're trying to, you know, I play basketball, so you're trying to defend somebody with your hands not on them. All of a sudden, somebody give you an elbow in the face, and they're not playing fair. And what do? You start giving elbows, too. You're playing soccer. You're running up and down. You're getting ready to go kick the ball. And all of a sudden, somebody tripped you because they don't want you to get it. What do? You start tripping people, too. We learn not to play fair because life isn't fair. Amen? Come on now, life isn't fair. And when things happen to me and they happen to you, we say, well, that's not fair. Somebody gets a promotion instead of you. I get it instead of you. You got more credentials than me. And you say, well, that's not fair. You get this girlfriend instead of me getting the girl, and I'm saying, that's not fair. You get married and I don't get married, and I say, that's not fair. Right? You get the house and I'm still living in the shack, and that's not fair. But Jesus is fair. He knows what you need. He knows what you can handle. He knows what you're ready for. You understand what I'm saying? Because I know a lot of times I wasn't ready for a lot of things, and I got them and I lost them. Because I wasn't ready for it. Christ is fair. Amen. When you're ready, he'll elevate you where you need to be. When you're ready for it, he elevates you to give you the things that are the petitions of your heart. But if you ain't ready for him, he ain't giving them to you. And when he's not giving it to you, he's helping you out actually. Because you ain't going to do nothing but lose it and get disappointed and get frustrated and then start blaming God for what you did. I wanted a house years ago. I wasn't ready for no house. Want me to tell you the reason why I wasn't ready for no house? because I got caught out there and then I couldn't pay my bills. And when the bill collector called me, and finally I said, I'm going to pay you something, and he said, thank you. My head said, oh, he said thank you because I'm going to pay a bill. You know I wasn't ready for no house. But in the fullness of time, he gave me a house. He said, now you're ready. In the fullness of time, this thing, Jesus Christ, came down. Those 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, you want to know something? The world wasn't ready for Jesus to come yet. And when we got ready, he sent his son. When our star leads us to a shack, we can expect God to provide leadership and guidance for us. When we get in the shacks of life, we don't know what to do. We try to figure it out. But when you are going to that shack, God will provide leadership and guidance for you. Because that's when you're going to start saying, oh God, what should I do now? Then you're open to receive whatever God has got for you. Amen? Sometimes he's got to put us down before he lifts us up. We can, when our star leads us to a shack, as God's children, we have to know that we're never alone and never without recourse. Because when we're in the shacks of life, the enemy and all of his minions want to turn around and say, well, what you going to do now? But with God, there's always a recourse. There's always a recourse, and there's always a source to get you out of wherever it is that you're in. When Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in that fire, they thought that there was no recourse for them. But they had a resource. They had a resource. So when they looked in the fire, three, they saw four. And they wasn't just standing around saying, oh, it's hot in here. They were dancing around in the fire. When the enemy tries to keep you in that shack, you need to start dancing. You need to start praising. You need to start thanking God. Because when you're at the bottom, only place you can go is up. And that means it won't be long now. God is on his way to take you out of that doldrum that the enemy's trying to keep you in. Don't you know that it's right before the morning that the darkness part of the night is? He will always make a way for us. He will always support us. Oh my God, there's times that family don't want to support you. When you're doing what God wants you to do, family don't want to support you. Your friends are going to leave you. Your children might think you're crazy. Your brothers and sisters, they disowned you. But God is going to support you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but God is going to support you. Somebody's going through something right now. In this season where everybody's buying things and getting gifts and running around and acting like they're happy and you're sad, God is going to support you. God is going to lift you up. God is going to give you another level. God is going to take you through some things. God is going to tell you that I'm here. God is going to reveal himself to you. God is going to tell you some things that you need to hear. You need to receive it and repent. I said in the homegoing service the other day, you know, when we're children, we grow up and our parents tell us, you got to stay in the house. You got to stay in the house. You were bad. You can't go outside to play. Stay in the house. I'm telling you today, when we left the house, we did some things we ain't had no business doing. Because we got too big to be in the house. We thought that we ain't want to be in the house no more. We grown now. Saints of God, we grown now. Some of us, we know what we should be doing in the house, but we don't want to do it in the house. So we leave the house. And then when things start happening, you want to come back in the house. But I'm telling you here this morning, you need to stay in the house. You need to stay in the house. And if you're out of the house, you need to get back in the house. You need to get back in the house. There's safety in the house. There's wisdom in the house. God will see you through. In the house, the devil can huff and puff, but he can't blow it down. But you got to be in the house. You got to be under the will of God. You got to understand that God is never going to leave you or forsake you. He sends his angels around the house, and nothing can happen to you when you're in the house. When you're in the house, you got to pray. When you're in the house, you got to read the word. When you're in the house, you got to participate. Ain't everybody in your house got to do something? Somebody got to take the garbage out in the house. Somebody got to wash the dishes in the house. Somebody got to wipe down the table and clean in the house. Amen? But you got to be in the house. And when you're in the house, you got to do something. And if you ain't doing nothing, you ain't in the house. You need to get back in the house. When you're in the house, when it rains, you don't get wet. When you're in the house, when it's cold, you're warm. When you're in the house, when the wind blows and everything is flying all around, you can look out the window and see it and not be affected. But you need to get back in the house. I don't know why you want to leave the house. It looked pretty good out there, everything going on. It looked sunny and bright out there. But let me tell you something. It's hot outside of the house. I don't even know if this is a Christmas message, but that's okay. All I know is the wise men, they went to the house to find Jesus. And at this morning, on this days before Christmas, you're in the house. Wise men still seek him. So if you don't know him, you need to seek him. Why are you in the house? Why are you in the house? Because when you go out the house, anything can happen. But if you're in the house, when you go out the house, you're covered. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Whew. Thank you, Lord. Let us stand this morning.